Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello there, and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly podcast where we take the questions of fictional journalist Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City and apply them to modern life and love. You are joined by Jerry Gerrard, Juno Dawson, and Smith Gerrard, Dylan B. Jones.
Hi, who was Jerry Gerrard again? Was that his original name?
That's Smith's original name, yeah. He was Jerry Gerrard, yeah.
Yeah, you can't be called that, can you?
How are you, Dylan?
I'm good. I'm a bit pissed off because I never realised that our social lives now revolve around the weather even more than they used to. And it's a terrible forecast for this weekend, so all of my plans have been rained off. But never mind.
I'm delighted because it was meant to be my wedding day.
Yes.
So I'm like, bring on the weather.
Bring on the rain, yeah. Mm. But as problems go, it's a temporary one.
It is, yeah. And it's been turbulent this week. Obviously, feeling very sort of powerless from down in Worthing, nowhere near any of the Black Lives Matter marches. Were you able to bob along?
I went along to the first one, the Trafalgar Square one, with a friend, and we got halfway there, and then she, understandably, I think, freaked out about the lack of social distancing and stuff. I wasn't too bothered, but she was, so I had to kind of respect her wishes. But what we saw of it was an amazing vibe.
Yeah.
And keep doing it, honestly. Do whatever you can.
No peace. It's very simple. And as well, a little list of some big brands who are supporting the Trump 2020 re-election.
Oh, yes.
We've got McDonald's. We've got KFC. We've got Pizza Hut.
Oh, my God.
Take your money elsewhere. If you need a burger that badly, get one from somewhere else. We are not, you know, if we are allying ourselves with Trump's re-election, you are no ally of Black people, people of colour, or LGBTQ people. Anyway, let's get to a show that never once featured a Black person. It's Sex and the City.
Yay!
Yay!
We're on series 2, episode 14, The Fuck Buddy.
A bit of a filler episode, but some great moments.
Yeah, it was pleasant. I was feeling a bit sort of meh this morning, and watching it actually cheered me up because it's just sort of a nice, unchallenging, pleasant episode, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and I think I liked this, and I think Sarah Jessica Parker was aware as well that fans liked Carrie to be single. And actually, it was during her single moments that the show felt, I guess, it went back to its origins because, you know, we met Carrie as a single woman, and I think we enjoy seeing that. And I think, and I've always felt, that in season 6, when Carrie screams at Miranda in the street, "I can't be single for you," that was actually almost addressing the audience, yeah. Which is, you know, yes, we enjoy Carrie's adventures as a single woman, but actually she does want love, kind of. But we love Carrie in this one. So, although again, it's one of those episodes that has very little to do with fuck buddies.
Yeah.
The question that we need to answer this week is, are we all dating the same person over and over?
That's quite an interesting one this week, I thought.
Mm.
Yeah. So shall I do a potted synopsis first?
I would love that. My body is ready.
So Carrie has got a ridiculous umbrella,
The end. That's it. The end.
The end. But just, I could not ignore the size of that. It actually made me angry. Because, like, in, like, particularly in London, when people have umbrellas that size, you're like, honestly, just fuck off. But yeah, Carrie is exploring whether she can get more out of her relationship with her fuck buddy, who is Dennis Duffy from 30 Rock. I don't know the actor's name.
I don't want to know the actor's name. Let's just refer to him as Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis. So, yeah, so Carrie has a great casual thing going with Dennis, and in kind of a typical, slightly annoying Carrie style, thinks, but this can't be it. I need to get more out of this. Samantha has got a couple next door who she's intrigued by, who she listens to having sex. Charlotte is trying out the concept of dating multiple men, and Miranda is dating a very angry man called Kevin.
Let's deal with Miranda in Act Two, because I've got quite a lot I want to say about Kevin.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Yeah, so should we go to the question at the start?
Sure, because I think it's an interesting one. Yeah, yeah. This idea of, are we all attracted to the same people time and time again? This is discussed as the girls have a picnic, which raises more questions than it answers. Question one, where did they all get China mugs from? Like, what kind of picnic have you ever been on where you would drink out of a mug?
Question two, what in the living fuck is Miranda wearing?
Well, what in the name of living fuck is Carrie wearing?
Now, it's quite Bavarian, isn't it, Carrie's outfit?
Yeah, and this is one that Patricia Fields has justified, because it is one of the most criticised Carrie costumes, in that, yes, she's dressed like she's high on the hills as a lonely goat herd. Gwen Stefani, wind it up. And she has even drawn little freckles on her face.
And, oh my God, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, Patricia Fields explained that this is a woman who does very much dress for the occasion. And she's going on a picnic, so she has dressed like an extra from that scene in Cabaret with the Nazi youth.
I still don't really understand it. Samantha's looking chic, I think. And yeah, Miranda, a bucket hat with on top of her hood.
Maybe she's going on a protest. Because yeah, obviously, if you are going on a protest, it's really important that you kind of cover up any identifying features. And yeah, Miranda's hair would have been a giveaway.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Do you know what? I would like to think, if this show was happening in 2020, Miranda would have been on a Black Lives Matter march.
Miranda would have been, possibly Samantha as well.
100%, yeah.
I don't think Charlotte and Carrie would.
Oh my God, Charlotte would have been calling the cops as they came down her street, so.
So yeah, they're in the park, and then, yeah, in the park they're discussing, is that when they're discussing dating the same sort of man?
Yeah, and do they have patterns? So it's so I love the idea that Samantha has to have a wall between her and her sexual partners. And that's very, very much her pattern.
On the nose.
What was Charlotte's pattern? She puts all her eggs in one basket, that's it.
Yes, all her deviled eggs, yeah. And then gets her heart broken. Yeah, this was an interesting one for me, because I had a pattern.
Oh, what was your pattern?
So I always dated quite sort of eccentric, artistic people. I dated sort of drag queens and performers and a YouTuber once.
Oh, wow.
and it was always a lot of fun. And I definitely don't regret doing it, but it never worked. And it was always like, and always never worked in quite extreme ways as well, ending in like sort of 2 a.m. people jumping out of taxis, like fights at warehouse parties. You can picture it. And then I decided to try something different, and I'm still in that relationship now.
How did you meet Chris?
So he was working at QX when I started working there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was one of the editors. In fact, they were hiring for an editor, and I interviewed for his for the job and didn't get it. He got the job, and then I got like a lower down job instead. And then I became the editor. So who won that?
You got a boyfriend and a job.
Yeah.
Hurrah.
Yeah. That's how we met. We met professionally. But
because
you and
Chris complement each other so well. Mm. You know, you are very well balanced.
But I think for me, I think that's what I needed. I think I need someone different from me. Yeah. What about, what's your experience?
So my pattern, if I had one, was, so for all of my 20s, it was slightly older men, slightly enigmatic men who weren't fully opening themselves up in some way.
Right.
Because pre-transition, it was difficult. I very much needed, oh, this sounds so binary and so disappointingly gender stereotyped, but I really, really needed men who were quite, well, overbearingly masculine.
Right, yeah.
Because in a way that affirmed my femininity, you know, in a way before I realized, you know, you can affirm your own femininity by, you know, just being a woman, you know, kind of, I was looking for something that was missing in myself.
And
that defines all of my 20s relationships, which is, I thought, if I had the right boyfriend, that sort of that nagging sense of something being amiss would go away. You know, I spent all of my time just thinking the reason I felt sad was because I was single, and that wasn't the reason I was sad. The reason I was sad is because I wasn't really being myself. But then post-transition, I don't know if there was a pattern, actually. I think the guys that I dated were very, very different. And so I don't think there was any sort of noticeable pattern. I think obviously I was dating for about maybe 4 years before I met Max, and so maybe that was the difference. Maybe in that 4 years there wasn't enough time to develop a pattern, or possibly there was one, actually. A bit of a decide I wanted love, really invest in finding a man, have a terrible experience, swear off men, never dating ever again, that's it, I'm going to be celibate for life. That would last maybe 6 months, and then I would do it all again.
Do you know what? I feel like you're not alone in that pattern.
I think it's probably quite common. And I hope my friend Niall is listening from Sydney. Hello, Niall. I miss you and I love you. He would regularly point out on my Facebook when I would say, that's it, I'm never dating ever again. He would say, yep, I could set my watch to this. We had this conversation 6 months ago. I'll see you back here in 6 months.
Oh my god, we need those friends, don't we?
Absolutely, yeah. To hold a mirror up to our bullshit, because otherwise you are just going to keep repeating the bullshit. So maybe that's how you break your pattern, and that's what the girls in Sex and the City do. They try to break Charlotte out of her pattern, but it doesn't end well. Well, let's deal with Carrie first.
Yeah.
And Dennis. He works in telecommunications.
Yeah.
I love, and do you know what? Obviously, very happy to be getting married, but that booty call where she's like, can you come around for about 6? And he's like, I'll be there for 6:30. He comes round and they just get down to it.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, oh, I miss that sometimes.
Yeah. You know? I know what you mean. I loved it as well. I thought it was really realistic of a portrayal of like a casual hookup. It was, I mean, she was basically firing up Grindr.
Well, no, because
he's a regular partner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it had parallels. Like when you, it had that same very adult thing that you get on Grindr, that you get on like a good Grindr meet or with a regular sex partner, which is very like, we know what we're both here to do. We're going to be matter of fact about it. We're going to put a time limit on it. We've got shit to do, but we need to have sex. And I really liked it.
Now, I think there is a difference between, because if it's, so this is casting my mind back, but when it was just a hookup, I mean, my dear straight cisgender listeners, are we at a stage yet where straight cisgender people are able to hook up in the way that queer people can hook up on Grindr? That is a genuine question. Like, I know that Tinder for straight cis people can be a hookup app, but are people just going, I mean, obviously not at the moment with social distancing, but can straight cis people just arrange a sex meet? Please let us know. Get in touch with us. I'm genuinely fascinated to know.
While watching this episode, I thought of Candace Carty-Williams and some of the stuff that she said when she was on. And I think she said something about that this does happen.
Good. I hope so. Because I love that quite transactional nature of Carrie wants sex, Dennis wants sex. Let's just do it. 6:30, brilliant. You know, this was 1999. Have you ever had the Sex and the City definition of a fuck buddy?
Yeah, but it's surprisingly, like, for me anyway, it's surprisingly rare to like get a good groove with someone and to get that right balance. Yeah, maybe I'm just bad at sex.
Well, that's the question I think we're answering next week, Dylan. So don't get ahead of yourself. But
no, but it's just like, yeah, I've had like two or three, but not. I don't see that as very many.
I had one. I had a really, really good one way back when. Although I'm gonna really sort of out myself as a wrong'un now because he did have a partner who I had also at one point slept with. This was around the time I knew it was time to get the fuck out of Brighton, when I realised I had literally slept with all of Brighton. That's an exaggeration. I didn't really. Just about. So I was seeing a guy and he was super reliable. He was on time. You know, you could plan your evening around him because you knew approximately how long he was going to be there for. And you know, I also, because the thing when you're doing like random hooking up on Tinder or Grindr or wherever it is you do it, you're never really sure what you're going to get. And, you know, so what are they going to be like? Are they good in bed? What do they really look like? So this guy whose name I'm clearly not going to say on the radio, you know, I knew he was gorgeous. I knew he was polite and charming. I knew he was clean. I knew he was amazing in bed. So that's for me the benefit of the fuck buddy, which is, you know exactly what you're gonna get. It's the same way that, you know, Wagamama, you know exactly you know what that katsu curry is gonna be.
Oh,
like,
oh my god, that is like the best. And like, Wagamama is a fuck buddy. Like, that is so true.
Wagamama, the fuck buddy of takeout food.
Oh my god, yeah.
They should really advertise themselves as that. Like, we are your culinary fuck buddy.
Oh my god. Oh my, like, that was a real eureka moment for me when you said that. So Carrie can't accept, despite how good it is and how healthy it is, she can't accept that there isn't more. She says, what does she say? I wrote it down because it was like,
it's time to get him off the bench.
Yeah, she said, was it really possible that someone so stimulating in bed could be so tedious in life? And I was like, yes, Carrie, yeah. Yes, it is possible. People can be amazing at sex and really boring.
In fact, yeah, I can think of a couple. Although I've slightly done this, there were a couple of guys in my past who would have been better off as fuck buddies, and I tried to make them something that they weren't.
Oh, so you literally have done this.
Including going into quite a long-term relationship with one of them, and my friends are going to know exactly who it is I'm talking about. But there was one guy who really was incredibly handsome, and polite, charming, all those things I said. And at that time, I was really smarting over a breakup. And both me and my ex, I think, were in a bit of a race to see who could find a boyfriend fastest. And so I ended up with this guy when actually I should have just kept him as a fuck buddy.
I've done it the other way around. I've gone back to like people who I've been in long-term relationships with, like just for sex.
Yeah, and I think that can be quite healthy as well. Like, we didn't work out as a couple, but we always had great sexual chemistry. Why not? Yeah.
It's so awkward when she says, I made reservations at a sushi restaurant, and he's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, that's so good. It's so good. Her horror as well as, no, sushi, Japanese food.
Also, when she orders sake, and he's like, sake to me.
So we've all been on that date, including once I went on a truly terrible date with a very drunk man who I think might have had a drink problem. We went to Moshi Moshi, which is actually, it's now called Moshimo in Brighton, an amazing sushi place. And he started putting his empty plates back on the conveyor belt, and we got thrown out.
Oh my god.
And I think at that place we should take a tiny little break.
Yes.
And then let's come back and talk about the other three. And we'll see you in a sec. Bye.
Bye.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi there and welcome back. This season we are being sponsored by our good friends at Brighton Gin, Brighton's independent gin distillery. And each week, in the spirit of Sex and the City, we will be bringing you a cocktail recipe that you can perfect with Brighton Gin. And this week, this one sounds absolutely delicious. It's the Pink Negroni. So it is a variation on my absolute favourite. You will need 35 millilitres of Brighton Gin, 25 millilitres of rose vermouth or sweet white vermouth, 15 millilitres of Aperol, ice, and a wedge of pink grapefruit. You are going to combine the gin, vermouth, and Aperol in a tumbler with a small handful of ice, stir until the outside of the glass feels cold, and then just garnish with your pink grapefruit and a basil leaf if you've got one lying around. And once again, I want to start daytime drinking.
From what you've said, that sounds very up your street.
That is very much my jam.
Yeah.
So, we've still not really answered this question about are we all dating? Well, actually, we've kind of established that I think possibly we are all prone to dating the same person over and over. So, we've answered that one.
Yeah.
So, I think we can establish that Carrie made a flaw by attempting to date her fuck buddy. I love the last bit, and it's really stuck with me that the patterns you have in between relationships.
And oh yeah, greasy Chinese.
And feeling restless. And there is something about that. And when I was single, I couldn't think of any other word for it other than that unique restlessness of being single. That sense of looking for something. And I thought that was a beautiful line in the script. And I think it really did encapsulate the sort of the wistful longing of being single sometimes.
Yeah, totally. It really stuck with me as well. I think I remember watching that when I was much younger and that line really sticking with me. But then, I mean, that's not to say that I'm sure that some people have dated fuck buddies and like that it's turned into relationships. But I think for the most, like, I think kind of the point of a fuck buddy is that they don't work in that other way. Like it would be wrong to like try and make it anything more than that by definition.
This one was written by a name I've not heard of, Meryl Marco, and Darren Star co-wrote it together.
Yeah.
Which is good. Shall we deal first of all with Miranda's pattern?
Yeah. Yeah. So why do I like him?
Oh my God, Dylan, get therapy. So now I think, for me, it was all quite funny until the scene where Miranda wipes down his pint of beer. So he doesn't. That felt like typical behaviour of a woman who is entering into an abusive relationship.
Yeah, that was quite ominous, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you are treading around a man's feelings, how is that not abuse, you know, kind of, and remember, abuse isn't always, this is the absolute basic, you know, abuse doesn't have to be physical. Of course it can be verbal. And this is a man who is screaming at her and calling her an idiot and belittling her and saying she lives in Neverland. And I think if that was happening to a friend of mine, every single red flag would be going and the alarm bells would be ringing. And I'd be like, you are in an abusive relationship, Miranda. This man, even if he's not screaming at you, the fact that she is modifying her behavior and wiping down his drinks to so that he can regulate his rage is abusive, you know.
And it had a particular extra punch as well, because it's Miranda and she would like never usually do something like that.
Exactly. So I found that, again, and it's so difficult. Sex and the City, it's a 25-minute sitcom. You know, how are they going to... And we talked about this in episode 2 of season 2 with Susan Sharon and her fucking psychotic husband.
Oh, yeah, similar vibes, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, this isn't okay. And I hope that 20 years on, that when we watch this man being emotionally abusive, that we... You know, and actually it bodes well that when they're in that restaurant, Carrie and Samantha and Charlotte don't turn a blind eye to his bullshit, and they say, yeah, he's cute in a tightly wound kind of way.
Yeah.
They do call it out. But unfortunately then Miranda again does what a woman potentially in an abusive relationship would do, which is she excuses his behavior. Oh, it's just because he's stressed at work. You know, things will be better when we're not in lockdown. Things will be better once he has his promotion. Things will be better once, you know, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Why are women constantly making excuses for abusive men? It boils my piss.
Yeah, and there was a lot of that. I mean, I'm sure it's still going on, but we talk a lot about how things were presented in the 90s, and I think, and around this general Sex and the City time period, and there was a lot of it, wasn't there? There was a lot of, like, men acting gross and just being excused for it by women.
You know, obviously, it's encouraging that in the end, Miranda hits her wall and enough is enough before this relationship, although... Spoiler alert, this man has also infected her with chlamydia, as we learn in a few weeks' time. So it's frustrating in a way, but it's great that Miranda gets out. And it's just, again, you know, now we know with hindsight that what Miranda achieves with her life, not being with an abusive man. She goes on, she meets Steve again, they have a child, she makes partner, she, you know, flourishes in her career, she buys a beautiful home in Brooklyn, which presumably she then sold for several million dollars because Brooklyn gentrified. So, you know, we know what that woman achieved through not being in an abusive relationship with a fucking nutcase. So.
Yeah, totally. I think the reason that I said I liked him was because I just really loved their chemistry in that very first scene after the movie. When he's like, get in the cab, Jean Shallot, and she's like, Jesus! That was a funny scene.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, like, riffing on kind of, like, screwball comedies of the sort of the 30s and 40s, but...
Oh, yeah.
I think media representations of... When we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think media representations of what a relationship should look like. We talked about it last week with Payne. You know, should relationships be full of conflict? And actually, in real life, no. What works on television isn't for real life.
Well, I wrote down something that Carrie said. Carrie's been listening to our podcast.
Has she?
Because she said when she was toying with dating Dennis, she said, did I believe a relationship had to be difficult in order to work? So she's had the same realization that we've had. But unfortunately... it didn't work. But yeah, it's again this thing of like painting, like it has to be full of pain and drama and like all the rest of it.
Relationships are meant to be funny. Last night, I mean, I'm granted, you know, Max and I are not the poster couple for healthy and happy relationships. But last night we were in bed and I was just howling with laughter. It was just, you know, Max, you know, I was like, right, I want you, you know, sort of like, I want you to sort of practice your sexiest seduction techniques. I was crying with laughter. It was so funny. And I realized, you know, no, there hasn't been any conflict ever between Max and I. Don't get me wrong, sometimes we piss each other off, but there's never been a hurdle to overcome. We've never had to, you know, and nor does he fucking scream at me in the street. Or threaten waitresses. So
Samantha smoking a joint and having a wank while listening to her neighbours have sex is quite a mood.
it, it, it is a mood, but I did think after a while, Samantha would be the sort of person who would have a gazillion fuck buddies. I don't think Samantha would need to be masturbating through a wall.
No, but then I did kind of feel like she was just doing it, like, just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
But like,
maybe she had thrush.
Maybe. Yeah, or maybe she was waiting 2 weeks before she got her HIV test. She was in that window, perhaps.
Well, no, we know she wasn't, because she's never had an HIV test. Remember?
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
We're about to learn that. So.
Oh, for God's sake, yeah. She's a bit annoying at the end of her story when she goes over and establishes that she's not attracted to them and then proceeds to literally, like, pull her bed away from the wall. Again, like, I like to think that given how sexually free Samantha is, she might have just gone through with it and I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, that was... I don't know if that plotline was worth it for the punchline, if I'm honest.
Yeah, it wasn't really much of a punchline.
Oh, they're old. Lol.
Yeah.
Charlotte, however, I kind of respect what she was doing. I agree that you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket.
I love her face when she asks out that yoga guy and he's just like, yeah, great. And then it cuts to her face and she's like, oh my God.
it's that simple. I think the second guy is hotter than the first guy, but I think rookie mistake, all Charlotte needed to do. So she was on the right lines, but it was madness to schedule two dates for the same night.
Yeah.
Like, what? Why would anybody want to do that? What an absolute pain in the ass.
Oh, do you know what? This is what made me think of Candace, because she was talking about this. It's called something, isn't it? When you date multiple people at the same time.
But yeah, at the same time, but not on the same evening.
Yeah, true. But I remember her saying that it was like, there's a name for it. And she said she can't do it because it's like spinning plates. But yeah, I don't think I could date multiple people at once.
I call the early stages of dating auditioning.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're in the first 2 or 3 weeks, I think you are perfectly entitled to have first, second, third dates with more than one partner, because the odds of one of those early dates translating into something more significant is tiny. So I think you can certainly have multiple introductions. I just think Charlotte fucked up in terms of admin.
She got carried away.
Yeah, just, you know, God, see one of them on Friday night, one of them on Saturday night. I think now, for me, and it'd be interesting to know your take on this, for me, the game changed slightly if I was having sex with one of them. And it just started to feel a bit murky once, well, I'm having sex with that one, so should I be dating anybody else? And certainly not maybe having sex with both of them at the same time. So I never did that.
I'm going to be very honest and say that if I was going on a date, back when I was dating, if I went on a date with someone, like, usually that meant I was also going to be having sex with them.
Oh, interesting. See, but we've not been here for a little while, but we're in trans corner.
Yay!
Bing, bong, bing, bong, bing. Post-transition, one of the ways that I weeded out the chasers, as we call them on the circuit, that I weeded out chasers was by making them wait a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Yeah. So that was a way of making sure they weren't just trying to get with a trans girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've reached the natural conclusion of this. Yeah. So we have established that we don't just date the same person over and over, but we are all possibly prone to forming patterns.
Yeah.
Do you think it's different to having a type?
Yeah, because I feel like a type is more... When people talk about what their type is, it's often quite focused on physical characteristics, isn't it?
And can we say, going full circle back to what we were talking about at the very top of this episode, bravo to Grindr for finally getting rid of race filters.
Oh, yeah, have they?
They have done. They've said enough is enough. And of course, now that... is going to throw a spanner in the works of all those racists who were like, oh, you know, it's not that I'm racist. You know, I just don't fancy black people.
And it's
just not my type.
And also, if you flip the coin as well, it's going to discourage fetishization. That's good, yeah. And if you think about it, it's, like, kind of insane that it was ever there in the first place. Like,
you're like, is there a way I can use this app without even seeing black men? Oh, great, there is. What the fuck? What the fuck?
So, I suppose one possible benefit to it might be that, like, if, say, a person of colour would only feel safe meeting up with another person of colour, that's the only, like, potential advantage. But, you know, there's other ways to do that, I think, aren't there?
I mean, because obviously I benefited Grindr. You can use Grindr as a trans person So basically, with my filters on my Grindr back in the day, all I could see were other trans women, or trans men, in fact, other trans people, plus people who were interested in meeting trans people. So basically, because a lot of gay men were not interested in meeting trans women. So actually that filter was incredibly helpful. But if you are a gay or bisexual man who is looking to meet other men, and you can't even deal with seeing people of colour, I think that's a problem, actually.
Oh my God, yeah. Mm. Absolutely. So well done, Grindr.
Well done, Grindr.
Also, quickly, I love that Charlotte's two men share a cab home.
That's so cute. Yeah, maybe I bet they go and have sex.
Oh, that'd be great.
I hope they went home and had sex. And in the 2020 version, that's exactly what they did, yeah.
So next week's a great one. Oh my God.
Oh, it's such a good one.
Shortcomings, starring, is it Justin Theroux's
it's
back?
It's Justin Theroux. He's back as a different character. And his mum is played by an amazing actress called Valerie Harper, who very recently passed away. But we'll talk about her much more next week, because she's one of my all-time favourite Sex and the City cameos.
Same.
You have been listening to at Juno Dawson.
And at Dylan B. Jones LDN.
You can find us both at SIGTT Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. And we will see you again next week.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.